Welcome to NASA Talks. This episode features a conversation between Michael Pichak, NASA's past president and Vermont's Commissioner of Financial Regulation, and Robert Cook, CEO and president of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. This conversation took place in September 2019 at NASA's annual meeting in Austin, Texas.
Robert, we have a lot of topics to touch upon. I think it will be great interest to the folks in attendance here. But I want to start off with a question relating to your time so far at FINRA. Since you've been at FINRA for the last 3 years, you certainly have highlighted the importance of FINRA's relationship with the states and with NASA as well, related to our shared mission of investor protection and market integrity. How does FINRA work and collaborate with NASA, and how does it work and collaborate with state regulatory authorities, and what have you seen to be sort of the highlights of that relationship to date?
Having a strong collaborative relationship with NASA is hugely important to our ability to achieve our mission of investor protection. I think it's what investors would expect. I actually think it makes the regulatory environment better for firms. And so I think it's hugely important, and we've been trying to, over the last few years, invest more resources on our end in enhancing that relationship. And I think people might be surprised if they could get some visibility into how much actually happens day to day between FINRA and NASA and FINRA and the states, whether it's quarterly calls, whether it's bilateral calls that we have with state regulators, discussions around policy issues. And then there are also these sort of one-off areas of collaboration. One, which is really thanks to you, Mike, the Senior SAFE Act fact sheet that we put out together with the SEC to remind firms on the one-year anniversary of the Senior SAFE Act about its existence and about what the requirements are to avail yourself of the protections of the Senior SAFE Act. And we're collaborating with together, again, with the SEC on developing training for firms, because they don't get the benefit of the Senior SAFE Act if they don't take some kind of training. And so I think that's a terrific initiative.
And I think those examples are really important, because those immunity provisions, that the training hopefully comes together, those are really important things for those firms and for investors, and they need to be aware of them and certainly utilize them. So we appreciate you collaborating with us. Maybe the audience would be very interested in some of the hot button subject matter items that are out there. Probably at the top of the list is regulation best interest. I know that we're really sort of in the early days here in determining what will need to be done by next June. At NASA, we've implemented a regulation best interest implementation committee. We've started out trying to figure out what this will mean for our members. So I wonder what has FINRA been doing, and what do you suspect the roadmap will look like as it relates to Reg BI implementation over the next 10 months or so?
Well, we're very much in a similar position of trying to figure out what all this means and how do we need to evolve our programs. We would love to work with Andrea and others on that committee to think about how we can coordinate in that regard as well on the Reg BI implementation. There are a couple of elements that we know we need to focus on. One is evolving our exam program to incorporate Reg BI. And this is something where, it's not our rule. We used to, examine for suitability, but that was our rule. But this is not our rule, it's the SEC rule. Now, we examine for compliance with SEC rules all the time, but in this area of sales practice, it's been federalized. And so that's a change for our folks we need to empower them, train them, everything else, and develop a really good process with the SEC to make sure that when interpretive questions come up in the exam process, that we're, I don't want us to be interpreting the rule. Now, we all know naturally some interpretation happens in the exam, but anything meaningful for sure, and in early days, really everything's meaningful. That we can go back to the gold source and get the guidance from the SEC on this. And we've been working, and I think it's also important because the SEC will be examining for Reg BI compliance as well, that we'd be working closely with them to make sure that we're, from the examination perspective, also collaborating. And so with, really grateful to Pete and his team for reaching out and saying, hey, can we, you know, make sure let's start the process now of how we're going to collaborate. And we've identified exam modules as one area and examiner training as another area where we can make sure that, you know, on day one, we're well positioned to take a coordinated, consistent approach to the implementation of AGBI.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, this is one area where certainly collaboration would be so critical for investors and for the firms. Just, you know, you mentioned you will be examining the SEC, states will be examining for this as well, potentially. So it's really going to require sort of a real coordinated effort. And I know as we started to examine it and what we might need to do, the laundry list kept growing in terms of, you know, what is this going to impact and what is the response going to be. So we certainly look forward to continued engagement on this topic as well with FINRA.
Yeah, and we welcome that. And another area is sort of updates to our rule book. Mm-hmm. And I think we're focused on this as a sort of a multi-phased exercise where we start with what are the updates that are really necessary to, you know, where there's conflict between our rule and Reg BI. I don't think there are lots, but there are a few where we need to change our rule set. So that'll probably be the first wave of this, you know, multi-wave project. Or non-cash compensation is probably another rule that we'll be taking a look at early rather than later to try to, again, we don't want there to be any ambiguity or confusion. But we also know that what we do in our rule set could have knock-on consequences for other regulators who might refer to our rule set or otherwise. So we need to figure out a path forward that tries to minimize the unintended consequences.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Another issue that I know FINRA has been focused on and trying to figure out solutions to, as certainly NASA and state regulators have been for quite some time, is the issue of expungement. I know FINRA has some proposals that are out there. I wonder if you can update folks maybe on the status of those or your sort of current outlook as to the status of expungements today.
Sure. So there are some proposals that we had out there. One was put forward in 2017, we are concerned about the expungement process and about records being expunged that should not be. We don't believe that no expungements should ever happen, but. That would be much easier to administrate for sure, but if you allow some expungements, we need to have a good process. And so I am eager to move forward on these proposals. And the other was a codification of some guidance we'd given, which give it a little bit more effect for arbitrators. So the codification is close to being ready to be filed with the SEC. I don't think we feel that means we're done with this issue. And so we would certainly want to keep the dialogue going with NASA about, you know, what more could be done, and is there maybe a wholly different approach to this that we should all be thinking about?
Another topic that we've gotten some questions on from the audience, and certainly one that we had discussed talking about, was sort of the changing nature of the industry in terms of technology. I believe FINRA has established the Office of Innovation, if I have that name correct, and you've certainly taken an active role in trying to determine the future of our technology and its impact on our industry, also on the regulation of digital assets. I wonder if maybe you can touch upon your perspective on those items, where you see the future over the next 5 years of technology in the securities industry.
Sure. Well, I know you believe this too, but technology is moving very quickly in terms of changing and disrupting existing business models, and we as regulators aren't going to be able to figure out how do you strike the right balance between innovations that actually help investors and things that are not good for investors. And you're not going to be able to keep up with that if you aren't kind of proactively engaging on this. And that's really the purpose of the creation of this office. We have an industry advisory committee on this have held some conferences. And I know this was the high point of your career as president, but thank you for speaking at our...
Going to the FINRA RegTech conference was one of the highlights.
I don't know. I can imagine anything better than that. And appearing on a podcast. So we really have to be actively, proactively engaged on these issues. And they're hard. I mean, it's people smarter than me in our at FINRA who are keeping up with this stuff. But we realized we needed to have a group that's really dedicated to understanding this. And it's actually interesting, you know, for FINRA as a regulator, we've found that our awareness and understanding of these new developments is also, there's a feedback loop into our work as a regulator, just how we run our regulatory program. So it's important to sort of be able to understand what firms are doing and how we should think about it and what we ought to be looking at and what kind of controls there are and vendor issues and all that kind of stuff. But on top of that, there's our own work where we are trying to use reg tech tools in our supervision. Now, in a market surveillance space, we've been doing that for a number of years because you have to, right? We're bringing in now 200, we've gone up to 220 billion messages a day.
Wow.
You can't have someone going through that line by line. Right? You got to run algorithms on it, et cetera. But we're now looking at, through natural language processing and other kinds of tools, looking at more unstructured data. And just on Friday, we approved a proposal that's already being run in beta form, but we're going to kind of integrate it in the rest of our advertising regulation program. You know, firms have to file certain advertisements with us. And when you have people going through those, you know, you quickly realize this one's a problematic one and this one's not. But you might have an expert reading something through to find out it's not problematic, and you may have a beginner reading through and not realizing it's really, this is a big issue. So this tool will sort those early, which will allow us to more quickly focus our resources on the ones that are more problematic.
What you make about how technology is going to impact us as regulators, I think, is critical, because I think all of us in this room that are regulators will have to think about that and think about how do we keep up, because I think that's one of the only ways if industry is going to continue to leverage technology to do more creative things on bigger platforms, bigger audiences.
Right.
Then I think we equally have to figure out how to keep up.
Yeah, and I think I guess where I was going is that I think we'll be better at supervising this stuff if we use it.
Yeah.
Where we use it in the good version of it,
right?
Where the tools make sense, because then it'll just increase the awareness of it across FINRA and the understanding of both the risks and challenges and benefits. But we have a ways to go, as most regulators do, and we're always going to be a little bit behind, as regulators are, like the latest development, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it's certainly an ongoing area of focus.
So one item I mentioned in that sort of technology vein were digital assets, cryptocurrencies. I know, again, this is another topic that FINRA has been engaged on and been looking at various issues around broker-dealer custody, broker-dealer advice and such in this space. So what's your thought on this digital asset space? I mean, do you have a prognosis about its future and what type of regulation is required?
Well, I think we've really been deferring to the SEC in significant part on this because the SEC clearly has some strong views about some of these products. Clearly, for example, the whole idea that you don't get to avoid the securities laws by calling it something other than a security was a bit of a learning experience for some, but I think obvious to most securities lawyers, for example. I think that joint statement, we put out the joint statement with the SEC, and that did provide a path forward for brokers who want to intermediate transactions in digital assets. And we have seen some brokers who have that business model and who have gone through our membership application process successfully, because they've limited their services to the non-custodial intermediation of transactions. The thing that we haven't, that the firms would like to do, and that statement identified a number of issues that need to be considered regarding, is the custody rule. How do brokers comply with traditional custody rules? Even if you think of them as being adaptable to new technology, how do you comply with traditional custody principles around the broker's obligation in a blockchain environment in particular? And so I think that's an area of ongoing work. Now, I set aside the issues of you know, I think we all have concerns about any new area where there are some fraudsters out there. We're all deeply concerned about that and monitoring where we can and trying to take action there. But when it comes to people who are really trying to get it right and comply with the rules, I think that's the next sort of evolution will be, is there a model? And I'm not sure, I don't know there is or isn't, but yeah. Is there a model that works for brokers to be custodians?
A few more minutes here, and I think maybe with that time, I'd like to ask you a question about a topic that I know is near and dear to both the FINRA and to NASA, and one where we've had a great deal of collaboration over the years, and that's the issue of senior financial exploitation. FINRA and NASA, again, have had a number of initiatives. This issue, I don't think, is going away. From our perspective, it's only going to increase with the aging population. I know in Vermont and northern New England, like New Hampshire and Maine, it continues to be an issue. What's your viewpoint? Are we making progress? Are there things that we could be doing better? Are there other ways that we should be collaborating on this important topic?
Well, I'd first like to congratulate NASA for really playing a leadership role in this area. Whether it's Judith Shaw with the committee she runs, or the, there she is, yes, thank you. Your focus on the Senior Safe Act and the training around it, I think these are, there's been some great collaboration. Of course, there's more, and I think that's the question, what more can we work on? I mean, I think we've done a number of things that we have found helpful. And we certainly want to keep investing resources in those. So the Senior Helpline, which Brooke runs, is incredibly useful. We have 17,000 calls, I think, to date from all across the country, with a lot of restitution being made and voluntarily for, you know, where things are identified to firms. We spent a lot of resources on investor education initiatives through Jerry Walsh's work. And that's another area where we collaborate extensively with NASA on. We co-brand our publications in this regard and make them available for free to NASA. So if anyone's not taking advantage of that, please do so. We've recently issued a request for comment to sort of ask the question you just asked, Mike, which is, what more can we do in this space? Because, you know, we found that this the rule that we adopted a couple of years ago on the trusted contact person and the ability to put a temporary hold. We think it's worth looking at it. How's that working? But that kind of grew out of an active, productive dialogue with the industry on, you know, they really were looking for a tool, and that was really the first national kind of senior investor protection thing of that nature. But we're wondering what more can we do. One thing we're thinking about is taking steps to limit the ability of a broker to be a beneficiary or in another position of trust, like executor or trustee or something, for a client's account. It's complicated because even if you carve out immediate family members, there's always some sympathetic circumstance where you say, yeah, that wouldn't be so bad. So I'm not sure whether it'll be an outright prohibition or just a limitation on it, but I think that's something that, at a minimum, we'll probably be considering a limitation on the ability to do that, necessary approvals and that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
But you know, we'll see how that helps. But we'd love to continue to work with you guys on ideas in this regard.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you for your work on that, and I think again an area for continued collaboration.
Absolutely.
For NASA and for FINRA.
Thank you for listening to this edition of NASA Talks. Be sure to tune in next time for more information on important topics.